Uhtred. I'm the alderman of Bebbanburg.
You are?
I am. My own lands to the north.
How long have you been an alderman of these lands? Your father chose to fight us and is now dead.
He was not fond of me.
I now understand why my son spared you. Uhtred of Bebbanburg, you are a warrior. Have some ale. Drink it. Lots of it.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Marion Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix, so sit back, relax, and let's see how England was born. Welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake. And trust me, if I ever see some Vikings just creepily whispering at me, I'm not going to run towards them.
I'm wondering if that's what we should be doing to our 6 and 8-year-old when we really want them to listen to us, rather than be like, clean up your room. I've asked you 5 times. Instead, be like, clean up your room.
Just do it.
Pick up those stinky socks.
They'd be like, oh my God, Dad and Mom.
Nightmares.
That is enough.
Right? Oh my goodness. So here we are. We're so excited for this, the inaugural episode of The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. This was a podcast that was voted upon by our friends and our listeners at jointhenerdclan.com. If this is your first podcast that you were introduced to with my husband Blake and myself, welcome. We are hardcore nerds who are married and geek out in our own podcast studio about our favorite book and movie and television series that bring us joy and light. We'd actually never seen The Last Kingdom before.
Nope, not once.
And this was voted. And you might be like, by who? Our friends at jointhenerdclan.com make all of this possible. They actually support us in tons of ways, but also, you know, it's a listener-supported podcast media company. So if you find joy in our podcast, head on over to jointhenerdclan.com. There you're going to get loads of perks, and you'll get early access to podcasts. You'll get extra podcasts with our book clubs. You'll get some of our hangouts, which is really neat. And also, if this is your first time listening to us, you will be able to subscribe to it in the very near future.
Yes.
So those of you joining us right now live, this will hopefully be up in Apple Podcasts and all of your podcatcher apps at some point in the near future. And if you're listening to this in the future,
yes,
on those podcast apps.
Welcome.
Thank you for finding us.
But there are a lot of you watching us live, right? Lots of
yes.
you. I get to see the numbers and it is climbing and climbing and climbing.
Yes. And you can also find us, Mary and Blake, on social media. So now let's get into the show. Okay. Details, Blake, for this brand new series. For those of you who don't know, Blake likes to geek out about all the technical aspects, letting us know the nitty-gritty of who made this show what it was. So break it on down for us.
Well, there are no titles for these episodes.
How does that even happen?
It's just like, episode one, episode two,
okay,
episode three. So it's episode 101.
I'm actually quite thankful for that. It's going to make it easy in my memory.
Yeah, a little bit easier to, you don't even have to break it down. You don't have to get the symbolism or anything in it or what it intends, the theme, nothing. It is what it is. Episode 101. It was directed by Nick Murphy, who has done a lot of different kinds of British television.
Okay.
And what you're going to see is that this show was actually on season one, was not initially on Netflix. It was on the BBC. And then after season one, it was then purchased by Netflix, and then it was made as a Netflix original.
Oh, cool.
So
Netflix was like, yeah, we're going to get in on that.
Yeah, we're going to get in on this.
We're going to take that.
So you're not going to see a whole ton of different names that you recognize. So for this person, the director was Nick Murphy for episode 101. He has done a lot of different shows. There is one show called Save Me. It's actually on Peacock right now.
Okay.
There's another show called Night Flyers that's on Sci-Fi as of this moment.
I know neither of those so far. I'm striking out with Nick Murphy.
That's okay. And then also The Hot Zone, which is on National Geographic. Again, not a lot of different mainstream shows that we have seen. Though he is most famous for a movie called The Awakening, which actually stars Rebecca Ferguson and Dominic West, who, by the way, Dominic West is going to be playing Prince Charles in the new season of The Crown.
Awesome.
So I'm very excited about
it. Right. So who wrote this? So we know who directed it. Yes. Now who wrote this?
The writer was Chris Bouchard. Who is that? That is the showrunner of The Last Kingdom. Chris Bouchard has done, again, lots of British TV that you and I think most of the mainstream people here in the United States, most of our listeners, do not know. So if you want to go that, if you want to go and see all the different shows or mini TV series that he has written, do that on your own time. Go to IMDb, look up Chris Bouchard. He is there. But I will say that he has actually given up the title of showrunner currently, right now. After season 3 of The Last Kingdom, he stepped back from the show. There is a new showrunner for seasons 4, and now what is going to be the final season, season 5. Her name is Martha Hillier, but Chris Bouchard has actually gone and created a new television show that is on Hulu called Baghdad Central. So if you do like The Last Kingdom, you do like Chris Bouchard, go check out Baghdad Central on Hulu.
Very cool. Awesome. So, all right.
And one of the things,
I want to just go through a brief rundown for anyone who's new as a podcast listener, just to understand what a showrunner is, because not only did he write this episode, but he, as you said, was a showrunner for quite some time. So if you can give me like the elevator pitch, what is a showrunner?
A showrunner is the person that is in charge of the entire show that you're watching. Right. So they are in charge of the story. They're in charge of
they're the boss.
They are like the president of your show. Right. They are the ones who are in charge of the budget. They're the ones in charge of the hiring, the staffing, making sure that the Bible of the show is being followed.
As a previous teacher, I think of them as the principal. Like everybody's got their jobs and they're still super important. There's committees. There's this and that. But there's the head dog. You know?
Yes.
There's the person who oversees them all and honestly has the final say.
Yes. So they are the boss. That awesome. Is it. And it looks like Chris Bouchard has actually written most of the episodes of The Last Kingdom. And he has sole credit for most of these episodes. So you'll be hearing his name a lot until after season 3.
Yeah.
And essentially, he was saying that he stepped back after season 3 just because it was his time. He felt like he had written 26 episodes, and it was just he had gone through the relationships, and he felt like he told his story that he wanted to tell.
His time was done.
Of course, The Last Kingdom is based on a series of books. So as such, they've only gotten through so many books. I think there are a series of 10 books.
Okay.
So the last season is going to cover the last two.
Very cool.
So I'm excited about it.
So when we watch episodes or movies, we like to rate them on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 being the absolute worst, 5 being flipping amazing. And what are we going to be like rating this upon?
Well, we actually put this out because we for those of you who are brand new to Mary and Blake Media, Mary and I are married. And we're nerds. We have a studio. And this is our business. This is what we do for our living. And we have a fairly decent following for a bunch of different shows that we do. And what we did today was we put out to a vote on what we like to rate our shows on. For Outlander, it is Kilts. For This Is Us, it is what is it for This Is Us?
Lemonades.
How it's lemonades. For The Crown, it's I can't remember what it is. Oh, corgis. For Bridgerton, it is cups of tea. So we put out the vote to all of our listeners today, and they came up with 3 main choices.
Okay.
The 3 main choices are Shields, which I like because it is our cover.
Oh my gosh.
It is our cover art.
I'm feeling it.
The next one is Swords, which I'm in, but not as not as much as in. And the last one is pieces of silver, because it is a recurring thing that happens in the show.
Cool.
Would you like my vote, or would you like
to... Yeah, I'll listen to what you think.
My vote is shields.
I'm down with shields.
You know, shield wall, shields, it's our cover art.
This episode, the shield wall, I was like, why doesn't everyone do that in every battle? I'm down. I'm down with the shields.
All right, so shield wall it is, shields it is. And Marvin, what are you going to give? How many shields are you giving episode 101 of The Last Kingdom?
I am giving it a 4.6, which frequent listeners of Mary and Blake podcast may know that that's a little on the low side for me.
That is a low rating for you.
I know. Okay, but here's why. I often don't like first episodes of television shows. I need to love somebody. Like, I need to love someone. I need to be rooting for them hardcore.
You need a Hurley.
I'm not even necessarily a Hurley, but I need to be loving someone, and it often takes me a few episodes to get that connection with somebody. Another thing that was difficult for me was I needed subtitles, so I had to watch this episode 3 times. We watched it once with our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. We had like a fun viewing with them, and then people were we watched that one with subtitles.
Yes, we did.
And then we watched it a second time with subtitles.
That's right.
And then I watched it today without subtitles. I'm like, I'm not going to let these words distract me this time. So I know I just need to either get used to their accents, or I need to listen to the television show a little bit louder. It's all me. It's just my adjusting to the show. But 4.6 is still a B+, or is that an A? I think it's...
That's an A-, yeah, I would say.
It's a still really, really good rating. I've got the bones. I'm sticking my teeth into it. It's just little things where I need to adjust. How about you?
Yeah, Mary, for me, I'm actually the same way with you. And I was kind of the same way with Game of Thrones at first because, oh, by the way, do I have my You Know Nothing Jon Snow sounder? Apparently, I can't find it. Oh, here no, it is. I got
you.
It.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I watch the show with subtitles, because there are a lot of different names. There are a lot of different pronunciations,
yes.
And you're getting used to the accents, how they're delivered, the pace and the cadence,
yes,
of their speech. You know, because every show has its own language.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's written in English for us, but every show has its own language. How it's Gilmore Girls is spoken and delivered far more different than Outlander,
yes,
is, which is far more different than Bridgerton, and so on and so on and so on. For me, I'm giving this 4.7.
Lovely. Oh my gosh, we need like the pigs flying. You're rating higher than me.
I know. This
we
is
need like a
very,
special thing when this happens.
This is a very, very rare occurrence in Mary and Blake Media where I give a higher rating,
yes,
than Mary. So I'm giving 4.7 shields for this episode. And I love it because there is no confusion. For me, it is a very clear path on how this episode is written. Everything that is in this story is related to Uhtred and his character. It is, nothing is superfluous. And for the most part, we are stuck in his point of view for most of this episode. And as such, it is, he is an important player, but he's not the main thing. Like, Uhtred's important, but he's not. I'm learning about the world. I'm learning about the,
yes,
people. I'm learning about the religion. I'm learning about all of the different conflicts and romances, and everything was just so efficient,
yes,
with itself. And there's even this great visual dynamic too, where the colors when Uhtred is in the Saxon part, you know, it's desaturated, and when he's with the Danes, it's far more colorful.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of great visual storytelling and visual language being established, as well as efficiency in its own storyline. So, really liked it, and I know what we're doing immediately.
Yes,
I know that Uhtred is a man between two worlds. And how is he going to navigate those two worlds? That is why, as a premiere episode, I am in.
I love it. I love it. Well, before we get into our GBGs, we want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. In addition to podcasting and being a stay-at-home mom to our kiddos, I also help people feel more confident and creative when it comes to their makeup and skincare. And being that this, we are going into summer here in the Northern Hemisphere, we are going to be putting the waterproof mascara, my like best-selling, amazing waterproof mascara that nourishes your lashes and really makes sure that oily days, sweaty days, swimming days, your lashes are still going to look fabulous. Those are going to be available shortly. I'd say tomorrow if you're listening to this live, because Blake has to fix it on the website, at 15% off for our listeners. So it's my MinuteWithMary.com waterproof mascara. You can get it at a discount by going to MinuteWithMary.com/discounts.
All right. So Marvin, your GBG, you're good, you're bad, and you're great. If you're a frequent listener of Mary and Blake Media, this is how we break down our episodes. If you're brand new, the GBG is the good, the bad, and the great. We talk about good things, bad things, and things that are just awesome. Yeah. It's a beautiful little Oreo,
oh,
if you
look
will.
At that. Hey, I wonder who came up with that. So my good is the little boy actor.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Oh, be still my heart. When there are children actors who just crush it and give me all the feels, like if I could have loved somebody, it would have been him in this episode, but he's gone. Mm-hmm. Bye. Now you're grown up. And I'm not complaining about grown up version of Uhtred. Okay. She's going to take me a little longer to love him because I fell in love with this boy right away.
Yep.
His determination, the way that he was able to carry the sensitive topics of like death and devastation. And yet he was also able to balance being able to joke with these adults. He carried his weight. He is a fine, fine child actor.
Yep.
My bad. Dead dads. What the heck? Game of Thrones all over again, except episode one. Oh, I'm going to kill your dad. Oh, guess what? You got another dad that you like? Kill him too. What is going on? And I actually liked the Danish dad a lot.
Yes.
You know, even though he was like really brutal and killed the teenage brother of Uhtred, I got to really like him. And I dug him a little bit, even though he's completely brutal and scary. Mm-hmm. And then he died too. So that's my bad. I didn't really care about the first dad. English dad stunk. Danish dad, great. Both dead. And then my great was I loved how I hated and then was totally interested into the Vikings. Like when little Uhtred is like, the ships are coming. I was so scared for them. And everybody's running inside the castle because you know that bad stuff's going to happen. And sure enough, it does. And things do not end well. And then all of a sudden, I'm on the Vikings team. I'm just down with it. I'm like, don't burn, don't die. Like, what is going on? These people are all maniacs who just like chop each other's heads off. I mean, it's like I forgot. It's like I forgot what they did, torturing all of the English, all of the Saxons, you know, like dropping them from the ceiling. And yet then when they're burning and when the old guy with the tattoos on his face gets shot, I was like, no, but I liked you. So well done, episode one, for making me flip-flop yin-yang on whose team I was on.
Yes, absolutely.
How about you?
And Mary, do you want to know something that's going to just blow your little mind?
Okay.
It's just going to blow your doors off.
Tell me what?
Rookie mistake. Where's your phone?
Oh, sorry. No, yeah, you're right. Rookie mistake there. I didn't silence my phone. Crapola. All right. I'm going to blow your doors off. I'm going to bake your noodle. You ready?
Yep.
Father Bioka, the guy that is...
The donkey guy. Like, I'm going to dunk you in the water for way too long. Yeah. The nice guy who was like, I'm going to teach you how to read. Never mind.
Played by a man named Ian Hart.
Okay.
You want to know who Ian Hart is?
Sounds like a really nice name.
Sounds like a nice name. Not a nice guy, though. You want to know why?
Why?
Because he's Professor Quirrell.
You're a wizard, Harry.
What?
Yeah, that's Professor Quirrell.
What?
From Harry Potter.
Put a turban on him and maybe I'll recognize him. Holy flipping smokes. I feel like his entire face shape is different.
Yeah.
I feel like he had an oval face as Professor Quirrell and now a round face
You gotta remember,
Father
that
guy.
Movie was made 20 years ago.
But still,
the Sorcerer's Stone.
I know, but still.
Yeah, Professor Quirrell.
Wow. I wonder if it was part of his contract. Like, I cannot have any head dressing on.
No turbans.
Yeah. I actually don't even want hair. I want to be as far away from Harry Potter, Professor Quirrell, as possible. Yeah. Holy smokes, it's a really cool fact. Yeah, what's your GBG?
All right, my GBG. First, the good. It has to go to the soundtrack.
Ooh.
The soundtrack for this show, it is incredible. I went out and actually bought it on iTunes just so I could listen to it in the car. It is my jam. It's my jam because it is...
That is, it's totally Blake music.
It's composed by John Lund, but Ivar Palsdottir, I think that's how I pronounce her last name. She is the vocalist on, she's the Rhea Yarbrough, if you will.
Yeah.
In all of... Yeah, that's her. Yeah. Ivar Palsdottir.
I just did it no justice.
None whatsoever. but it's traditionally composed, but there's some great synth music that is added into it. And Mary, you know my love of synth music.
I do.
It knows no bounds.
It truly does.
It knows no bounds. So when you combine all these things and you have the Icelandic version of Rhea Yarbrough and you have synth music and you have all of these things, and this is my people, the Danes. I am Danish. Yes. Larsen, L-A-R-S-E-N,
is Danish. It's so funny because I'm Scottish, so when we watch Outlander, I'm like, oh, these are my people. Now we get to have Blake's ancestors. People.
So yes. I am so super excited about this soundtrack. I listen to it and I feel like, dude, I'm just gonna go be a Viking right now.
You do that.
And so the soundtrack is incredible. If you haven't gone out and purchased it or listened to it like on YouTube, it is on YouTube for free if you'd like. Listen to it. It is amazing. The bad for me, there was a setup with Sven, the young boy.
Which one? The little one? The little Sven? Yeah. Or the teenage Sven? Which I can't take his name seriously because all I think about is the reindeer from Frozen.
and during the watch party, we had a name for Sven. I cannot say it on the podcast. It is...
If you know Pig Latin, it's Itty Shay.
Yeah, Itty Shay Sven. and it just immediately, when he gets his eye poked out and the whole thing, which was a great sequence.
We'll just call him Silly, but you all know what we mean.
No, we can do Itty Shay Sven. I like that. Okay. Itty Shay Sven. Okay. I'm out on Itty Shay Sven. You want to know why?
Wait, teenage or kid?
Both.
Okay. All versions.
All versions of Itty Shay Sven.
All versions of Sven are Itty Shay.
I just out on him because, ripping the girl's dress off. And then he goes, I'm sorry. Ivar is not Icelandic. I cannot pronounce what she is. I apologize. Kathy Ferosi? From Cleveland. Ferosi. Sure.
I
apologize. So that is mea culpa. Learning. I'm learning still.
Okay, so tell me more about
Itty Shay Sven. He's just this kind of the way that he's being set up. He's got the missing eye, and he's just awful. there's nothing good about him.
Yeah, there isn't.
And it's just this hammy kind of villain, and I know that that's what he's going to be going forward.
I'm kind of down with it. Because there are those people. You're just like, you were always bad.
Yeah, you just suck.
You have always been this pebble in my shoe, even since I was a kid.
Yeah, right.
And that's why I kind of like it. I agree with you. Just like, we haven't seen multi-layers of Sven. But can't you think back to your childhood? And then you're like, and then that person grew up, and they still stink.
Yep, there you go. Oh, she's from the Faroe Islands. That's how you pronounce it, I guess.
Okay. What was your great, my love?
My great is a tie. And I mentioned it a little bit earlier, which is you get an immediate sense of what this show is going to be about. And you know that it is going to be about Uhtred. You know that he is a man stuck between two worlds. And there's a great visual storytelling device that they use to give this sense to you immediately. They open up the show with young Uhtred, who that is not his name at that moment. He only gets that name after his brother dies.
I forget his name. It began with an E or something. I'll call him Bobby.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Bobby Jr.
Bobby Jr. he's looking through the amber pendant.
Oh, did anyone else get Jurassic Park flashbacks? Was there a mosquito inside?
To Jurassic Park.
Seriously.
Or a dragonfly?
Yes.
Oh, girl.
To the far Sassanar.
What is going on with Amber, right? I love
Osbert.
It.
Osbert is his name.
Not Bobby Jr.
Not Bobby Jr. Thank you to the nerds out there who are helping us out with these names as we go along. You got the amber piece that he's looking through at his castle. You can see he's looking through his family at... And then he is given the pendant, the Thor's hammer. The hammer of Thor. And he has both of them. And it's like he's looking at them. And this is a visual.
This is like Outlander with Claire holding both of her rings. The one from Frank and the one from Jamie.
It's a great device to just show you physically. It's showing you, not telling you what is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But the other part here too is a huge Mary and Blake media commandment. For those of you who are new to us, we have a lot of commandments, And one of those commandments, one of the main important commandments is this. You want to impress me, you give me a good bookend. Give me a good bookend. And that is exactly what has happened in this episode. When you have a good bookend, you know you're in good hands. When you start with one thing, and you end with that same thing, but just in a different way. Maybe it's the same exact thing, but it's just recontextualized.
Maybe it's a decapitated head from someone else.
Yes, absolutely. You start off with Ragnar showing up with
Bobby's head.
Uhtred's. Uhtred 1.0.
Yeah.
Or 2.0.
2.0.
With his head. And then Uhtred 3.0 shows up with the creepy staring guy's face.
Peeping Tom.
And he just throws it up. And he's wearing the same exact coat.
Shows up on the horse. How does that not get burned in the fire? How does a fur coat not get burned in a fire? Was that with the silver? must lock my furs away.
That coat was important to
Ragnar. They're my valuables. Hide them under the stove. This is my decapitated only fur.
Yes, absolutely. So that's that. Yeah. And that is my good and my bad.
I love it.
My great. So Marvin, where do you want to begin with the rest of this episode?
You get to rock and roll, my love, with this one.
You know what I really like?
I do.
I really like the credits, like the intro.
The drawing style.
The drawing style and having the music over it. And having, sorry, I'm if you're not watching me live, that's okay. If you're listening to me on the podcast app, when I'm nervous, I fidget. And I
actually, one of our friends sent you a little fidget toy.
I know.
I'm
gonna have to fix that. But I love the opening credits only because it feels like an alive part of the show. I feel like if you're watching it and you're learning something new each time, and it's a great design that puts you right into it. I don't want to make constant comparisons to Game of Thrones.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to do that because I feel like that's low hanging fruit. But it is similar to Game of Thrones.
I was just
going to
say that it was like it, in my opinion, where, you know, kind of took you on a journey. So, I don't know. I liked it.
Yep. So, what stands out to you immediately, Mary, about this show? I know that this is probably not a show that you would have chosen to podcast about.
Netflix would not have been like, Mary, this is totally recommended for you. Even though I do often watch shows in a similar vein, mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, and you know, I do like historical based dramas, just like slice them and dice them up is not necessarily my thing. But I am very excited because this is an area of history. Granted, I know that this is highly fictionalized, but this is an area that I know very little to nothing about. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't know that the Vikings invaded England. At all.
So a little
I thought Vikings were like before the English and they were kind of like just rough and tough, like slash cavemen. Like I think it went like cavemen and then some other kind of people and then Vikings and then King Arthur. I don't know, but this is why I'm excited to learn about this time frame.
Yeah, it's good. This book and the show here is based on Uhtred, the character, the one that we're Uhtred 3.0 is a fictional character, but the world that we're in is real world. This is history.
Yes.
And it's all historical places. And, you know, around this time we have, as an English king, Alfred the Great. So a little background for you listeners and for those of you who are watching live with us right now. I am a history major. However, my knowledge of this portion of history just happens to be sandwiched in between my major and my minor. Okay. So my minor was the rise of Alexander through the fall of the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. My major was modern history from like 1600 through, I'd say, World War II.
Okay.
It's specifically focusing on like the history of Europe and the creation of the United States.
So 860s, not necessarily your forte.
860s is exactly right in the middle of where I don't know a whole
no man's
time.
Land.
But I do know some things, and from what I do know, you know, when they're talking about the Saxons, you're thinking like these are people that were just originally part of Britain. Like this is. That's who they are. They're the Saxons.
I mean, I don't really know what it means.
The Saxons were actually people from Germany, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
In the after the fall of the Roman Empire, the Western Roman Empire.
Okay.
Okay, that's in like the mid 400s.
All right.
I think the technical date is 467.
I don't need technical. Whatever. Stats are for nerds.
Stats are for nerds. The Romans were running most of Britannia. That's what it was called. And they shielded themselves from the Picts, who are now this at the time the Scots. And they built Hadrian's Wall to stop them from invading. And then
your coups can stay up there.
I know the Romans left because they ran out of money. They were losing all these people, and the Roman Empire started to collapse in on itself. So. When they left, there left a huge power vacuum. There was a whole bunch of infrastructure, and nobody knew what to do. So the Britons were there, the Picts were at the top of England, and all of a sudden, these people from Germany and the Franks and the Frisians and then the Saxons from Germany, the Angles from Germany, the Jutes from Germany, they all started going over to Britannia.
Okay.
And that's where they started taking over these lands. And so from that point on, in like the 500s till now where we're at in the last kingdom, that it's now we're in like the 860s, the Saxons have been part of this land now for about 300 years.
Yeah, so they think this land is not your land. This land is my land.
But, you know, there are other parts. There are the Britons, there are the Picts, there are the Celts, there are the Gaels, there are all of those people. They're
all smorgasbord.
They're all mingling in these areas.
Are they mingling nicely? Like, are they like, you stay over there, I stay over here, but we're cool?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. There does come a point with Alfred the Great where they all kind of come together a little bit and fight off.
But do the Vikings come and just get all of them? Just say, I don't care who you are. I want your land.
Yes.
I want your sweet water.
Absolutely.
And your land with full meat. Or whatever the heck they say. lots of game.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what happens.
So then the Vikings, otherwise known as the Danes, why don't they just call themselves Vikings? Who calls them Vikings if they call themselves Danes?
I don't know.
They come on over, had no idea the Vikings were Danes or that the Danes were so rough and tough. Right. I just thought the Danes made pastries.
Here's a fun little notation on history.
Okay.
The time when the Roman Empire falls in the mid-400s to when in between that and when the Saxons come to England, that time period is technically, at least according to most historians, the Arthurian times. King Arthur.
Oh my gosh, Sword in the Stone.
King Arthur is supposed to have been a historical figure during the fall of the Roman Empire. Now, is there actual evidence, like empirical evidence, hard and fast evidence that King Arthur was a thing, that he existed and he was the king? No. A lot of people think that he is just a conglomeration of a bunch of different ideals and myths.
I'll believe it.
However, that is true. And so you're looking at this time period. So consider where you are from 400, Western Roman Empire falling, King Arthur,
Merlin, potentially
Sword in the Stone.
They turn into squirrels like they did in the Disney movie. Okay.
And then the Saxons come. They start taking over parts of England. Now we get to the last kingdom portion. Now the Vikings are coming to fight the Saxons.
So the Saxons were pretty well established at this point. They were like, yes. Nobody's bothering us. We're here. We've got our nice castles. We're doing our thing.
By this point, they've been there for 300 years, which is essentially how long the United States has been a country. Okay. So think of that.
Yeah. So if Vikings came over into the United States, you'd be like, back off.
Yes.
We've been here for a while. So then again, we took it from somebody else.
So that is
too.
Your minor history lesson. Awkward. But I do want to get into the characters because they matter most. Marion, I want to get your opinion on this. I felt so much more when Ragnar died in that fiery blaze of glory.
Yes.
By the way, the special effects department, you know what they get? They get the most important sounder in Marion Blake Media.
Nice job, falsetto.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was incredible. And I felt so much more when he died than when Ton Wamscamps from Succession, Tom from Succession dies, Uhtred 1.0 Uhtred, dies. Yeah. By the
OG
way,
OG Uhtred.
That special effects department, once again, when OG Uhtred dies. Oh my goodness. What a great, it's like 3D.
You know, when they were like, okay, so we need the special effects people to make a sword come out of his neck. They were like, yeah,
yes.
This is our jam. Yeah. Covering someone in fire is no joke.
No joke.
I actually had a classmate, a friend of mine in college. They had like a little college TV show, and for fun, they wanted to see how to do it. So he bandaged up his arm, put all this stuff on it. I think he put Vaseline on it to like be a blocker. And he did all these things that he found on YouTube to figure out how do people light themselves on fire for television shows. Mm-hmm. And then we had like water and fire extinguishers and stuff. I don't recommend it.
Don't do it. No.
Don't
set yourself on fire.
Don't. I mean, he's fine and he was fine, but it was really scary. And I remember sitting there with a bucket of water being like, why is this happening right now? I mean, I appreciate the trying to understand things from a film aspect, but like, shouldn't you be doing this with a professor?
Yeah.
Or like in an internship, not just like in the yard of our dorm. That was some serious fire situation that they had going on, and to see the distance makes me wonder how many of the extras of all the, you know, Vikings that were around that actually had, you know, hidden canisters of fire extinguishers or where they were all hidden, because things like that, you have to have intense amount of backup emergency equipment hidden throughout that they can easily grab.
Now, did you feel what I think the show intended you to feel when he came out in the burning blaze of glory?
Yes.
Like it's shortly after he says, you know, to his father, Raven, you know, who he kills, obviously, because they know they're all going to die.
Yeah.
And he kills his wife he's not sacrificing her, but he's just it's out of like love and like,
yes.
And he meet her in Valhalla. I'll be there soon. Did you feel, do you think, what you were supposed to feel?
Yes, I did. I did. Okay. Because at first I was like, well, why wouldn't he just kill himself? If he doesn't want to burn, he doesn't want to be tortured. Because they could have easily done that too. I mean, burning was torture, but they could have done so many more long-term things to him too. But maybe he just knew, like, I will go out and I will catch on fire. Mm-hmm. And this will be the way that I go, but I'm going to kill some people on the way that I do it.
Right.
It did. It had the emotional weight for me.
And did the emotional math add up for you too, also when... Like, there was that great scene when Ragnar is talking to Uhtred, and he's like, listen, why don't you just go with Breida? Like, just go. Get it. Just, what are you waiting for?
Because
immediately I felt this real sense of like, wow, I really like that. I really like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I really care about this relationship. It's sad that all of Uhtred's dads are dying.
Yeah.
And, you know, Raven dies, and all these people are croaking, but... Within 5 short minutes for me,
yes.
I really cared about the result of what this
Agreed.
Was coming because of that small conversation. Did Agreed. You feel the same way?
I did. I was very confused because I don't know like how dating works, how sex works. Like if you have sex with her, does that mean you're going to marry her? Because what if she ended up getting pregnant? Like what's going on here? There's no contraception. Does this mean you're an official couple? Is he going to meet some other people? I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, that's another thing that I like about the show.
And why did they choose to have sex the way that they did? Interesting choice to do it back to back or back to front like that for their first time.
Maybe he thinks
was
it's like,
this their first time? Do they just watch animals and they were like, "This is how we do it"?
It was like Jamie, you know, like you know, do it like horses. It.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like maybe it's because they're young and inexperienced that they just think that this is the way. I don't know. Are we meant to think that they've gotten it on with other people? We are just going to figure this out as the show goes along. But I had many questions about, like, who have you been with before? When's the last time you've been tested? What position do you want? What's going to happen if I get pregnant from this right now? But, you know, they were just DTF, as they say in Jersey Shore.
Are you buying Uhtred and Breida, their chemistry and the relationship that they share? Because I feel like you can tell as, like, for when they go from kids to they have that sudden change, that time jump as adults, you see some chemistry, you see that they have this close relationship. But are you buying that they're a thing?
I'm buying that they are ready to, like, rumpy pumpy with somebody, mm-hmm. and they appreciate and care for one another, and that they come from the same place and they have pretty much every single shared experience. Do I think that they're, like, longing for each other? Listen, I'm a fan of Outlander. My bar is really high when it comes to chemistry. They're not Jamie and Claire level. Not even close.
We're, you know, just, you know what? I'd say give them time. Give them a little time.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad relationship. I actually enjoy the pairing. I do think that they complement one another.
Yep. I had a slight bad that was going to be my bad.
Ew,
until okay. I thought about Itty Shea Sven.
Okay. I keep forgetting that that's what we've named him. Continue.
My bad was going to be, I didn't like how they got Uhtred out of the camp.
Which Uhtred?
Uhtred 3.0.
Okay. The one and only Uhtred that we shall refer to from here on out?
Yes. Okay. I didn't like how they got Uhtred out of the camp, because it was just, and it comes from that great scene between he and Ragnar. Hey, she's tending the coals tonight. Just go out there and, like, figure this out, man. It was just so convenient to get him out of the camp.
I disagree.
I knew as soon as Uhtred left, I knew something was going to go down with Kjartan and Itty Shea Sven.
Well, I will tell you, I didn't. I think that, you know, it was the night of, you know, prepping for the wedding. And so obviously it was a perfect night for them to come and ruin the village. But I didn't pick up on any of that. I saw it as, listen, nobody's going to notice. And she is there by herself. Like, you're not here in the great house having to, like, bust a move on her with grandpa, you know, listening to you, because you know blind people can hear things really well. Like, no, I took it as, I'm going to help you out. It's like when your dad, like, says, here, why don't you take the car out for your date? You know what I mean? Like, let me give you a little bit of freedom because you deserve it.
But it's not that, like, I like the idea. It's like, okay, go do your business when nobody's here. But I mean, just in terms of the writing itself, I felt like there should have been another way. It was just too convenient. It was just too...
I didn't mind it, though.
It just felt very... forced is not the right word, but it felt very manufactured.
Okay.
Because then we have the big siege on the house, by the way, and then everything goes...
That was something else I had a question about. So we have this big house. What's his name? Ragnar? I don't know. The daddy with the beard.
Yeah, Ragnar.
Okay.
Yeah.
When Ragnar the Viking arrives and he kills Uhtred I, and then he goes to this house and Ubba's there and, like, other people are there and he's like, oh, I love this welcoming. Was Ubba already there? Were all of those Vikings already there? Had they killed other people? Was this their house? Did they steal this house from somebody? It just didn't make sense to me about, like, whose house this was. And then they end up living in it for years.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I just was very confused where this was, because it seemed like the other people were there for quite some time.
My sense is that this is a house that pre-existed and they took over.
That was
over.
A Saxon house?
That was a Saxon house.
But not part of Uhtred's houses. Or maybe part of Uhtred's houses. Just seemed like people were very well settled. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I think it was a pre-existing house that they took over, and then they just, you know, whoever was living there, they probably just killed and sent down the river.
Get out of here.
Let's talk about the transition. Oh.
Of little Uhtred to big boy Uhtred.
Oh, transition porn. Oh, the transition porn is incredible. That is amazing.
Of course, if we're talking about when Ragnar, like, throws Uhtred over, he's like, oh, you're my son now.
Yes.
Bloop, pops him into the river.
And then instantly he comes out of the river.
Which I would not have been happy about that.
Yeah.
Like, wow, you just bought me. I'm kind of going to be your son. We're smiling. What the heck? And now I'm cold and wet, and maybe I bumped my head on some rocks.
Maybe I concussion. I'm not sure.
I would not have liked that.
At least like hypothermia, you know.
But then he emerges.
Oh,
long locks and all.
Okay, that man, Alexander Draymond.
Yeah,
hasn't had a cupcake in about 7 years.
Oh yeah,
7 years. Better body, him or Jamie Fraser.
Jamie.
Sam Heughan has a better body?
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, let me like, you know what I need to do? I need to do some research. I need to have some pictures side by side, back and back.
Yeah.
I'll let you know. And it may be that I don't love this guy yet.
Okay? I think that's a possibility. That's a possibility.
You know what I also have
to
say?
You weren't in love with Sam Heughan in the beginning. You weren't
I was.
You weren't in love.
I mean. you know what I have to notice? Where the nipple placement is.
Oh, are they pointing down?
I have a real problem. Yeah. When like men's nipples, their pecs are so big that their nipples are almost like a shadow. Like it's so low. I'm like, what happened to them? Okay, man. So let's, I digress.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. You know, no judgment here, Mary. None. The transition between young Uhtred and big boy Uhtred is incredible. It's incredible visual storytelling. There's no simple way to make that jump. And it could have, it's very easy to just jump cut, go from, you know, like one thing to the next, from one scene and then, okay, yay, 10 years later, it's Uhtred. But it's done really in an artful and impactful way. And
for the record, his nipples are centered.
Okay, good. And it rhymes with his baptism as Uhtred. When Professor Quirrell baptizes him and holds him underwater for an uncomfortably long amount of time, mm-hmm. and he's baptized as Uhtred of Bebbanburg. And then Ragnar purchases him and becomes his son. He says, now you're my son.
Yeah.
And he throws him in the water and he's once again baptized, but as Uhtred the Dane.
Yes.
And he comes out of the water, and when you see it, he's a full-grown adult male. Such an impactful and artful way to create essentially a brand new character for yourself, mm-hmm. But one that we already have this implicit memory of, one we already have this implicit tie to.
Yes.
Such a great way. And this show, I think the transition is indicative of this show in general so far. The cinematic quality of this show is outstanding. I mean, beyond. Stop looking at pictures of Jamie.
I have to do research.
You're just so distracted now.
I'm a Jamie.
Oh, my goodness.
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
It's okay, Mary. It's okay.
It is okay. Thank you.
The cinematic quality of the show is outstanding. I mean, not only do we have the beautifully lit and the cinematography, it's cinematography porn, of them riding in the sunlight with the horses after they've escaped Kiartan and his attack on the house. But also that, and when they're running away, they have the above, God view of the woods and them running through the woods. Mm. These are important shots to show you how small they are as characters, how small they are in the story at this moment. They are alone. They are isolated and among these woods, just lost, and they're just running. An incredible way to tell you this story.
So brave. You know, another shot that I really liked was actually at the end when they're on the horses and they are going back to Bebbanburg. God bless you. How do we even say that?
Bebbanburg.
Bebbanburg.
God bless you.
Once again, I need some subtitle situation. When they're on the two horses and they're riding towards the, lack of a better word, castle fort. I was so nervous because I'm like, you guys are all alone. Your horses are already going to be a little tired because you've made this long trek.
Right.
Like, you're bold. You're bold in that fur coat that you somehow saved from a fire.
And that moment at the end, is an important moment, not because it's, you know, Mary and Blake commandment, you know, bookends, but because we have watched this entire story so far play out, how it has played out and what it means for Uhtred to wear that coat and what it means to go and see his uncle who wanted him murdered. And
that coat must be so smelly. Like, there's no Febreze.
Yeah, like,
there's no dry cleaning.
During the watch, we were calling Elfric, Uncle Elfric, we were calling him Uncle Scar because he's Scar.
Like, he actually looks like, is it Jeremy Irons? Is that his name, the actor who does?
Yeah, he kind of does look like a little bit like Jeremy Irons. He does a little bit. That's funny. You know,
I killed Mufasa.
Long live the king. Yeah, Uncle Scar. He, what that means for him to go back to Bebbanburn and say, "Yes, this is mine. This I'm is going mine. To take I'm this." Here. But he's doing it in the visage of a Dane.
Yes.
This, again, is more visual representation of who he is and the battle he's going to face. And everything that has come, everything that has led to him being on that horse with creepy guy, creepy staring guy's head in his hand, holding it the same exact way as Ragnar did, however many years it was before that, we have watched this entire story play out, and it's impactful. It is momentous. We understand everything that comes along with it.
Yes.
I really, really, really liked how this, how the episode ended. And I think the last thing I want to talk about, Mary, is something that Raven said in the middle of the Danish hellscape when the people are being raped and they're being
dropping them,
lifted up and dropped.
And
Raven says,
feed me some chicken.
Yeah, that's true. But,
he's got priorities.
He says, you know, people who take their orders from above or from a god are unpredictable.
Watch out for Uba.
Yeah, men who take their orders from gods are unpredictable. And I think there's a real clash here between, because the Vikings, they say, are pagans, and the Saxons are Catholic. There's an inherent and there's a natural conflict there.
Yeah.
Catholic taking orders from God. Vikings are pagans. But Abba is someone who takes orders from a seer, someone who takes, and that person takes orders from whoever,
a raven.
You know, whatever sometimes. It is. So that too is also multi-purpose. Mm-hmm. It's totally displaying the conflict between the Vikings and the Saxons, but also that there's this oncoming conflict, I think, for Uhtred and what's coming along the way. And it's great advice from Rutger Hauer of all people. And you have not watched Blade Runner, which is so disappointing.
I mean, really, is it?
But he played Roy Batty in Blade Runner. And you were going to watch it. And Rutger Hauer is also in a movie called Hobo with a Shotgun. Oh man, crazy movie. Anyway, Rutger Hauer gives this really sage advice. Watch out
for
people who take orders from gods. They're unpredictable. And how Uhtred has to be aware of his roots, but be aware of the people that are around him.
What was the princess's name? I'm just calling her a princess. The one who was supposed to get married, who looked like she was wearing black swan makeup.
Oh,
but the white swan version. And she didn't wash it off. Because was this the rehearsal dinner? Or was this the wedding? Because Itty Shay Sven says, like, I'm not going to let you marry anybody else. So I thought she already got married and that's what the celebration was for. But maybe this is a multi-day wedding thing. All I can tell you, though, is her makeup.
Tira is her name.
Tira.
Is it Thera? Is it Tira? That's the, I couldn't remember.
Calling her the princess
Tyra,
right now.
I can't. So give us the pronunciation of it.
But, you know, she had this like white makeup on. I didn't know, had she already been married? Is she not married? Does she get to wash her face? You should not go to bed with makeup on. Okay? Can age your face tremendously. Lord knows the breakout she's going to get. It's going to be like, as if this wasn't bad enough.
Tura.
That's kidnapped by Sven, and I didn't bring my cleansing cloths.
Tura. That's the name.
Okay.
There you go. She needs a minute with Mary.
She needs a minute with Mary, like travel kit.
By the way, go to minutewithmary.com/discount to get a discount on whatever product is featured.
It was the waterproof mascara, which Tura definitely
needed.
Poor thing.
So I really like that there's this immediate conflict on so many different levels. And having said that, Mary, where do you think this? How do you think this performs as the first episode of this
good.
Season?
I know in where general? I am. I don't know who's good and who's bad, but I know that Uhtred's good. I guess that's who's like whose side we're going to be on. I know that there's a damsel in distress. I don't know how that's going to play out. Does Uhtred sleep with Tura? I don't know. I don't know the rules of this world. We know that Eri Shay's Fen. Maybe he'll lose another eye. We know to watch out for Uba.
Yep.
Aside from that, I don't know. I don't know where Uhtred lives. Is he a nymph? Do they go back to the old hangout in the woods? Where do they go right now?
I think what's really special about this show is that it refuses to take a side on the Saxons or the Vikings.
Well, exactly. We're with Uhtred. What's Uhtred's friend's name? The girl?
Oh, Breida.
Breida. Exactly. Like they are kind of this hybrid. So we get to be with them and get to see the both sides. And we're with her. I like her. She's tough, man.
She is tough. She doesn't mess around. And she's smart, too. She knows what she's doing.
Yes.
And she's saying, listen, don't do this. Don't go kill this guy. And he's saying, I need to kill somebody and I choose him. Mm-hmm. I loved that line. Such a great line. And speaking of that, what a great subversion. After he kills this guy, you think it's this big heroic moment for Uhtred. Like, yeah, I killed crazy, creepy guy. No. He breaks down and cries in a bale of hay.
It's okay.
After everything that's happened to
him. We've all been there.
It's such a great subversion of his character.
Hugs and ale.
So many hugs and ale for him. Anything else you want to say about this?
I'm ready. I'm ready to delve into episode 2, and I'm just so thankful that, you know, we've got a good long show to go for. One of the cool things when we get to watch a show that has already aired is that we get to watch it at our own pace if we want to go a little faster.
Yes, yes. All right. So that is that. I think this show as the first episode, Mary, to follow up on your comment. Is really, I think it does a great job. Mm. It starts off well. It starts off where it grabs your attention. You have Tom from Succession dying with a sword through his through his throat, and you're not sure who to trust. You want more by the end. It leaves you with a good hook. Mm-hmm. There's also this really really special emphasis on character and. We have the hook of who Danes and invasions and all this other stuff and war. But the real importance here is what is this character going to be and what is it? How is it going to affect him?
And, agreed.
I really
and where
like
does
that.
He store his fur?
All right. Of course, for every show that we do, we have a theory of the week. Mm. And we have all different names for all the different kinds of theories. For Outlander, it's Outlandish Theory of the Week. For Bridgerton, it's Scribbling Prediction of the Week. For This Is Us, it's the Hot Take of the Week. This one, I think it's going to be the Destined to Be take of the week. So the Destined to Be take of the week. Mary, are you ready for it?
Yes.
Let's do it. All right, do you have a theory of the week?
I'm not really good with the theories all the time.
Okay,
so
no problem.
You can take the helm.
Well, we have this moment where Raven says to a young Uhtred, don't ever tangle with Uba, because Uba is bananas.
I mean, you got a name like that. You know you got some tough skin.
So, yeah, that's true. You did.
You don't grow up.
That's a boy named
Abba.
Sue.
Yeah.
Don't ever get into conflict with Uba, which to me is what we like to call foreshadowing. There is absolutely going to be a conflict with Uba between him and Uhtred.
Yeah.
Gonna happen. Put a Larson Garen toss on that one. And my guess is that Uhtred finds a way to deal with Uncle Scar.
Okay.
And Uncle Scar is going to go away by I'd say halfway through the season.
Interesting.
Uncle Scar ain't going to be a big deal.
Okay.
In my opinion. Like, he is a big deal, but he's going to be done away with relatively soon. Like, at the end of the episode when he's like, horses! Like, maybe he's going to go riding, and he ain't going to die then, but it's going to be soon.
He seems kind of wimpy.
Definitely. And the issue that is going to happen, though, is that when Uhtred does handle Uncle Scar, Abba ain't going to be happy. Because it's noted that he always gets more than half. This mm-hmm. is important. Mm-hmm. This is a very early clue.
Greedy.
And it's just because that's the way it is. And when Uhtred handles Uncle Scar and Abba doesn't get more than half, or he doesn't get nothing because Uhtred believes that Bevanburg is his.
God bless you. Yes.
Then there's going to be a big problem between mm-hmm. he and Abba. So mm-hmm. that is my destined to be take of the week. What do you think, Marvin? Interesting? What do you got?
Yes. Interesting.
All right.
I don't have a theory.
That's true. You don't have a theory. That's fine. All right. Anything else you want to say about this episode before we go? Final thoughts?
No.
Nothing? Okay. Let's close this bad boy out, shall we?
We want to thank you all so much for taking the time, particularly those of you who have joined us live. We are, by the next episode, going to create a texting reminder service so that if you would like to be alerted to when we do go live, you can join us. Because as a heads up, since this is something we can binge, we may not always be going live on the same night of the week.
That's right.
We may try to fit in a couple of extra episodes. We may do some that don't necessarily have the video component, but we will always be doing at least one live each week so that you can be joining us in these episodes. But because we can binge it, we may binge a wee bit just to kind of get ready so that we're also in ready for season 5 with you all. We don't want to be late for it, of course. So just keep your eyes and ears open for the next podcast. When this is available in your podcatcher of choice, we will be letting you know. Make sure that you're following us on social media. Amiri and Blake, you can find us on Facebook. We actually have a private Facebook group if you're not already a member there. Just search Amiri and Blake, request to join it. We'd love to have you there. We geek out about all sorts of things that we already mentioned within this podcast episode. So if you knew what you were talking about with all the different fandoms, you will be greatly welcome with open arms.
I gotta tell you, I was taken with this first episode. I was taken with it. I really enjoyed it. The soundtrack, when I fall in love with a soundtrack, I'm in.
It's good. Yeah.
Then I'm in. And it's like, it's definitely my jam. It's my house cleaning mm-hmm. music. And I really like it. I'm excited for this show. I know Mary is excited, not as excited as I am, but I've got a feeling.
I know I'll get there.
She's going to get there. I know when that is. We have a question from Maria here on Facebook saying, when does season 5 start? There is no start date yet. Has not been announced for season 5 as of this moment. So we'll see what happens. I can't wait for this podcast and to get through it. I'm interested in Uhtred's story. I'm interested to see what happens. And if you're interested in us, you like that transition right there. If you're interested in us, ladies and gents, go to jointhenerdclan.com. Become a member there where you get the amazing After Dark show and all early access to all of these podcasts, as well as our book clubs that we're running and the Keep Calm and Crown On podcast, which is about the crown, as well as Rise Up, which is a podcast dedicated to Hamilton, which you don't want to miss out on. We got a whole bunch of cool stuff.
We really do, and it's just your way to show us that you appreciate the work we're doing. It's less than a cup of coffee, so check that on out. Jointhenerdclan.com. It means so much to us, as this is a mom and pop shop podcast company. So
that's
thank
right.
you all so much for supporting us. On that note, my name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.